The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.
Welcome back to Trailblaze. Matt Butler, it's another week, and we are taking a look at the 2028 presidential campaign. And there are all these candidates who are now out here on book tours. What is going on with the book tours? Is that the new first primary in a presidential campaign?
It is the new first primary, or at least it's the first dance for people who want to try to get into it. They kind of like are sipping a toe in the water a little bit. I think it was Andy Beshear this week who announced that he was going to be releasing a book in September of 2026, about kind of his life and sort of his philosophy for how he thinks that the United States should go about the next 4 to 8 years.
So we got Beshear's out there. We have seen Josh Shapiro on his book tour. He's been all over the media as the governor of Pennsylvania, which he calls the swingiest state in America. You can do with that what you will. And then we got Gavin Newsom, who is got a book. And who are we forgetting?
Kamala Harris.
Yeah, Kamala Harris. She's still out there on her book tour. I think it will go on forever.
Yeah, I think that they will. I think there's a lot of stuff that's happening right now. And maybe what we should do is kind of go candidate by candidate. And I think let's have a little bit of a game and let's get our predictions on the record for whether we think each of these candidates is actually going to make the race.
All right. Will they or won't they?
I don't know if you're up to it. So it's will they or won't they? And so the will they or won't they is will they file paperwork with the Federal Election Commission to be a candidate for president? And I think it's important to remember that there's no such thing as sort of in the eyes of the Federal Election Commission, you're either running for president or you're not running for president. So you could have Jamal Simmons' exploratory campaign, and that is no different than Jamal Simmons' for president campaign. It's just you're running, you're subject to the limits, you're subject to the laws, but you do have to file that piece of paper with the FEC. So this is going to be, we can go back in a year's time and look back at these predictions.
Might be the only, running for president might be the only thing in life where you could be a little bit pregnant. Right, you can be running for president, kinda, but you haven't quite filed the last paperwork to make it work.
Exactly, you can be a little bit pregnant with the entire American people and your donors, et cetera, but you cannot be a little bit pregnant with the FEC. This is actually one of the things that the FEC still can do. I'll start with the first one because it's Gavin Newsom, and we'll just kind of run down sort of where people are in the polling and kind of the prediction markets on the list. I think it's pretty obvious that Gavin Newsom's going to run for president. I think he is. He's out there. He's doing international events. He is positioning himself as a leader on the world stage in all of these places. He's written a book. He is in Trump's face every day, building up a lot of credibility and a lot of name recognition. And I think it's not surprising that he is kind of out there in front. I guess I would ask one question of you on Gavin Newsom, and then you can tell me whether you agree or not.
Yeah.
If Gavin Newsom didn't have term limits and he could stay the governor of California beyond the end of next year, Do you think that Gavin Newsom would just simply continue to be the governor of California? Is that like a big enough place for him?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. I think Gavin Newsom has wanted to run for president for a while. It looked like in 2022 he was going to set up to run for president. He was he was obviously still governor, and so he didn't do it. 2021, 22, he didn't do it. I think out of deference to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. But now I don't think he feels any restraints. He wants to run for president. He's, as you said, doing all the things. He's running the most aggressive social media campaign. He's got a book. He is, he got that big bill passed where he redistricted California to net Democrats some seats to try to hold on to the House. So he's doing all the elements.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Yeah. All right. Next one is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. What do you think? This is a hard one.
This is a hard one. This is a hard one. There is obviously there is the part of me that says, look, she's running because if she's, what else are you going to do? If people want you to run, you should do it. She's setting up to be the heir to the Bernie Sanders throne, right? Like the whole Bernie Sanders movement. They did an entire tour together running around the country, and they brought people together. And it was a little bit of a handoff, right, from Bernie's generation to AOC. Mm-hmm. But, if she runs for president, there's a point where she can't run for Congress again. And so the question becomes, does she want, if it looks like it's not going to happen, right, she's not going to have a real shot at it, does she choose to not run for Congress and not have a job if it doesn't work out? That might be the breaking point where she decides, you know what, I'm going to go back and be the lion of the House.
Yeah, I mean, she could certainly be considered for House leadership in the next couple of years. I mean, maybe even Speaker of the House at some point. I mean, she's also got a shot at Chuck Schumer's Senate seat. There's talk about that. So I think her figuring out kind of what the best path forward is will be really interesting to see. I think probably she's going to say no, if I had to be on the record. And also, she's super young, so like she doesn't have to run this time. And, maybe the experience in Munich of like, I totally think the Munich kind of misstatement or whatever was overblown, and it's totally unfair. But like, I mean, we don't make, it may be unfair, but like politics is unfair. So,
right,
but exactly. She got a little bit of a taste of kind of what the spotlight, if you're going to run for president, is going to be, and how there's double standards all over the place and different things. And so, I think maybe she says, look, it's not quite time yet, and I'm going to get a little more experience. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say no. I don't know where you want to end up.
Yeah, I'm going to go with no, because the musical chairs of politics are what they are. And the point I made before about there comes a point where you have to have a chair if you want to be in the game at the table. And so if she's not going to be president of the United States, which is always a big lift, here's the thing I tell everybody. Everybody who runs for president loses, except for the one person who wins.
that's very true. It's right. Very true. Well, and then not always, right? I mean, because you could get your, your profile can really get raised, and you can become into a position of kind of national prominence. And we've seen some people be able to do that. I mean, I think Pete Buttigieg, for one, I think maybe, did not win the nomination, but I think he probably came out ahead after his run for president. I mean, really the story on Buttigieg is he ran for Democratic chair and lost, and then really came out ahead.
That's true.
All right.
Is a really good point, because let's just, the big list of people who this happened for, obviously we just lost Jesse Jackson. His runs for president in 84 and 88 turned him into a, even larger national figure than he ever was before.
Yeah.
Al Sharpton, when he ran in 2004, remember Al Sharpton, by most of the national media, was not, he did not have a positive reputation, but he ran a pretty positive campaign and was a constructive force in that campaign. And he ended up, you know, becoming the Al Sharpton we know today, which started in that 2004 campaign.
He absolutely did.
Who else? I mean, Bernie, obviously. Bernie was just a, you know, liberal senator from Vermont.
Or, congressman, then senator. Exactly.
So it is, so, particularly for the liberals, I do think there's a question of, do you become kind of the progressive voice? And it might be, you know, it establishes people as a bigger progressive voice. I can't really name, I don't think, any kind of moderate centrist types that ran for president and lost and really became larger than life figures, but maybe I'm just blanking on it right now.
Yeah, we'll think about that. We can come back next week and talk about it. Okay. All right. So let's what's your prediction on Pete Buttigieg?
Pete Buttigieg runs.
I agree. I mean, he's just been spent the last, I think, 3 days in New Hampshire. This whole exercise is complicated because we don't know the calendar yet.
Yep.
But that's a pretty clear sign. So I think we're both yeses on that one.
And what else does he do?
What about Josh?
If he doesn't run, seriously, like if he doesn't run, what else does he do?
Yeah, I don't know. I would assume he's in the next cabinet again.
Yeah.
Or an ambassador someplace. Josh Shapiro.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think he pulls the trigger.
His
point about Pennsylvania being the biggest swing state, I think that in his mind.
Swingiest.
Yeah, you pick him and then he gets to be the guy.
All right. Vice President Harris.
Ooh, this one is tough.
I'm giving you all the hard ones. I'm giving you the really hard ones.
This one's tough. I think in the end of the day, she if I had to just place a bet, I'm betting she doesn't run. She had a moment. She had a big, historic, momentous run. She gave it her all. People responded to it. She's a much bigger force today than she was 5 years ago. The worst thing that could happen to her would be to run and to lose. That would be really bad. And so why take that gamble? I think she just, I think that she becomes a force in the party that can really focus in for other candidates.
Yeah, I think that would be a great spot for her as well. And also, you know, she's in, you know, most of the polls, she's in first place at like 30-32%, people thinking that she should be the nominee. I worry that that's her floor, right? Because if you are not supporting Kamala Harris now, it's you're looking for somebody totally different. It means there's like almost 70% of the electorate that's looking for somebody else. But everybody knows who she is after being vice president. And, you know, as they get to know other candidates better, I feel like that support is going to slip away a little bit. And so she's as high as she's going to be at any point.
And I'll tell you that. I'll tell you this. There are a lot of people who are very invested in Kamala Harris. You know, they want her to be treated fairly. They want her to be well-regarded. I'm not sure they necessarily are on board with the Kamala Harris campaign for president again, but they absolutely are invested in her being treated like a serious person in American politics.
Yep. I think I agree with all of that. All right. Gretchen Whitmer.
I say no. I don't think she does it.
I think it's interesting. I think we need to see where the calendar is. Like, I wonder if Michigan pops up as the first in the nation state, if that sort of gets her into a run. We've talked about this before, but it's super interesting that she was on the like short list of three to replace Biden. And it really, she's not making a lot of the outward moves to run for president that you would expect at this point. Now, I will say, you know, since we've been doing this podcast the last 2 months or so, you know, I've been reading, you know, all the Google alerts and you know, we've got Whitmer on there. She is doing a ton as governor of Michigan. Mm-hmm. And there is bill after bill, and she is like out there and she's on trade missions. And so she's making a lot of news for doing the job of governor incredibly well. And she's like trying to throw herself into that, which is a great way to sort of set yourself up for maybe being able to run and being able to turn it on. So we'll see. I mean, I think I'll say no right now because she hasn't been more outward facing about it. But that's one that I would not be surprised if we're wrong on this one.
I think there was a point in time where a lot of people really wanted her to run for president. I think perhaps a 2024 campaign just might have like shaken up her math too much, but you know, we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I think that's right. Now there's a ton of candidates. I mean, I've got a list of almost 24 people that we could go over. So maybe we can break this into two parts because this is getting a little bit long. But let's do two or three more, and then maybe we can do the second half of the pack next time.
Okay.
Wes Moore.
Yes.
cut?
I think he runs for president because if he wins re-election and he has a good re-election, he also is probably the person who is most likely to be the next vice president of the United States if he is not the president of the United States. And it's a great way to like get set up for that.
Yeah, and actually that's the other way that you win by running for president, right? Is you put yourself kind of in the front of the line to be vice president.
I mean, look, let's think about it. Kamala Harris had run. She ran and she lost in that previous cycle. Joe Biden ran and lost when he became vice president in that previous cycle.
Al Gore ran in 88 and lost.
Al Gore ran and lost when he became vice president. And, you know, so, I mean, there is a history. Obviously George H.W. Bush ran, lost, became vice president, and then president. Yep. So, you know, there's a history of running and then getting picked to be vice president.
All right, let's do two more. John Stewart.
No, I don't think he does it. At least not seriously. He might actually like have a fake campaign on his show. But
oh, that would be interesting. Yes. That would be interesting. Mark Cuban.
Just
call out to our friend Rodell from last week.
Exactly. I don't think he does it. Too much money at stake.
Yeah, I think it's probably pretty good to be a billionaire in today's America. So I think that's probably going to be pretty comfortable. Also, you know, he did say a lot on the trail in 2024, and it did not really have the resonance that we would have liked. I mean, he was a big supporter of Vice President Harris, and it did not quite get it done.
Yeah.
All right, wait. Actually, I will do one more because it's a good segue into the next thing we're going to talk about, okay. And that is the governor of Virginia, Abigail Spanberger.
Yeah, you know, she's an interesting choice. Not on my bingo card 6 months ago, but it does seem like she has the math works, right? On paper, it makes a lot of sense. You think about Abigail Spanberger, governor of Virginia. She ran and won very tough races in Virginia, which I think she won with like less than 50.5% of the vote in her first couple of elections in Congress. And then in Virginia race, she kind of blew the field and won with 57% of the vote. Mm-hmm. Virginia is a swing state. It's ish. It's blue now, but it still can flip on you. You know?
Yeah.
And she'll be a governor. We haven't, you know, I think we haven't had a governor run, a woman who was governor, run for president before in the Democratic Party. So I think one of those women governors might be compelled to get in.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Yeah, and also, you know, I will say that, you know, you say it is a blue state and we have been able to win it, but I will say in 2016, 2020, and 2024, like, you know, the results for Virginia don't come right in. And, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you used to live in D.C. I still live around here. You know, we know when those polls close. We know that that's close. And yet the results come out pretty late in the evening when they actually call Virginia for president.
Yeah.
So having somebody who can get 57% of the vote there would be a pretty comforting thing for Democrats to be able to see. Also, she's giving the response to the State of the Union tonight, which, you know, if you look back, there are a lot of people who have gone on to run for president after that.
It's true. The State of the Union has been kind of you know, the response to State of the Union has been both an object of ridicule and a reputation booster.
Yeah.
I was just going back and looking at some of it. You know, the very first State of the Union response, it was 1966, and that was Gerald Ford and Everett Dirksen, who were the House and Senate leaders.
Oh, interesting.
So by 1976 or 1974, Gerald Ford had been vice president, had become president of the United States. Bill Clinton also did a State of the Union response.
Which 1985.
And George H.W. Bush did a State of the Union response in 1970. Now, some of these were different because it wasn't quite the same, like one person to camera thing as we. And then, of course, what's your favorite kind of State of the Union response faux pas. Who made the worst impression?
Yes. I believe that was Marco Rubio. But look, see, this is, you know, nothing in politics is fatal because Marco Rubio's still around and we're going to be talking about him later this year when we're talking about Trump's successors.
And for those of you who are listening and not watching,
gulping and gulping and dry mouthing.
Yes. So, like trying to grab that water as if we weren't all watching him on camera. Trying to sneak a sip of water on national television.
That was rough.
That was 2016. That was 2016 when that happened. It is a stage for personalities to really make their mark.
Yeah. All right. Anything else? What about, speaking of kind of Marco Rubio, like who do we think, where do we think that the kind of MAGA coalition is going into the State of the Union and kind of, you know, is there a candidate that gets to sort of keep that coalition together?
You know, I think it's in a tough place. You know, the president right now is banging the war drums. You know, he obviously has already gone into Venezuela. They're claiming a success from that, from grabbing the president of Venezuela, Maduro, out of his house. At the same time, we are seeing them put more ships into the Persian Gulf than have been there since before we invaded in Iraq in 2003. And so we're seeing that, you know, the Gerald Ford, which is the biggest, you know, warship that we have, like it's I guess on the cusp of being ready to go into battle. So, you know, we don't know. The MAGA people, America First crowd, was not a wartime crowd. I mean, these are people who were against a lot of foreign engagements. So I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think when you have, you know, kind of you're pushing your two top policies are so wildly unpopular with most of Americans, being tariffs and immigration. Mm-hmm. Like it's not surprising that you would see some people start to fall off of the Trump support and why his approval ratings are so low. And then you put on top of that all the Epstein stuff, right? Yeah. That's just policy. Now there's the Epstein stuff and not being forward with the files and all of the redactions and not knowing what's going on and now looking like, you know, whether you are involved with any of that going on or not, that you're covering it up and your administration's covering it up. And that's, you know, that was a huge motivating factor for a lot of these voters, I think. So it does feel like things are pretty soft. And that's not even the question of like, could a J.D. Vance or a Marco Rubio keep that coalition together? And I don't think that they can. So
you're saying
they may be able to constitute a new one, but they're going to have trouble keeping that together.
Yeah.
Just on their personalities.
No, I think that's right. I was just looking at some of the polling numbers. We've seen some of this stuff. So we think of the MAGA coalition as being very Republican, which it is, obviously. Mm-hmm. But a lot of those folks aren't really, they're still independents. They're people who, you know, fit in that coalition, but they're independents. And with independents right now, Trump, at CNN poll, has Trump at 26% approval, 41% disapproval, which is a big number, but 26% approval. And with young people, he's at 25%. Now, a lot of that coalition was young, and so he's got a big flip. 25% approval with young people, 67% disapproval. Those are huge numbers. And just we were talking about Iran a minute ago. 16% of Americans favor military intervention in Iran. 16. That is just a huge, huge, a very, very small number of folks who want to go in there. So,
yeah.
I'm not sure what the president's thinking about. Maybe it's the right thing to do. I don't know. Get the foreign policy people to tell us. But Americans don't seem to be behind it.
Yeah, I would agree. So we'll see. Maybe in the State of the Union, he announces that we're going to war tonight. So we'll see.
Yeah. And we'll see how this MAGA coalition holds together. If he can hold it together himself with Epstein and foreign interventions and loss of tariffs and prices still not recovering and, you know, immigration agents being violent on the streets and all that, if he can hold it together himself, and then also whether or not, as you just mentioned a minute ago, you know, Rubio or J.D. Vance or even Don Jr. would be able to hold it together without him.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. Let's do it again next week.